became a Christian when I was 13 years old, Buffalo, New York, and the beginning days of my spiritual journey was, I think, inundated with a quest for knowledge. I just wanted to know everything that I possibly could know about God, about the Bible. And consequently, my Christian walk resembled one of, you know, one who just was just mainly concerned about knowing things and getting in front of people and telling them what I know. It's been my prayer, just on a personal level, that as I continue my journey in Christ, that people don't know me or recognize me by what I know, but how I live. And that's why that last song is so great, because it's a song about Christ being my all, being in me, over me, under me, behind me, in front of me. It's my prayer, although it's a personal prayer, it's also my prayer for the church, that we're not known because we know stuff. We're not known because we know facts. We're not known because we're good debaters and we could prove you wrong. But that the world would know us because it is evident that Christ is living in us. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for being so present in our lives. Father, praying for that realization to be made more clear in our lives. Father, we pray that we would indeed be transformed into the likeness, the very likeness of Jesus Christ. Father, in doing so, I pray that the world would see you through us, that they would see in us a God who's loving, that they would see in us a God who's forgiving, that they would see in us a God that's merciful, that they would see in us a God who's gracious, that they would see in us a God who's concerned. And Father, the only way for the world to see that is if we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So that is our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to go there with me, as we continue our discussion on spiritual gifts, becoming an e-church. This leg is called Becoming the Equipping Church. Again, is our desire for us all to be equipped for works of service in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse number 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Many have suggested that the modern church, most resembles the Corinthian church. For in the church, there are so many plots and subplots, talking about the Corinthian church. And there's so many ideas and situations that the modern church kind of resonates with. There are issues that the church is dealing with that is in need of teaching, addressing, correction, and encouragement. It is believed that the Corinthian church, a church planted by Paul the apostle, kept in constant correspondence with Paul through letters and messages sent through traveling messengers or evangelists. In fact, the first letter to the Corinthians appears to be a letter written in response to a letter and or correspondence initiated by the church. So throughout the letter, we are informed that Paul is responding to a letter written to him from his friends at the Corinthian church. Hence, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me, dot, dot, dot." He goes on to respond to information he received from some members of the Corinthian church. In, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25, and chapter 8 and verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, and chapter 16, verse 1, Paul begins his instructions with "now about," or some of your translation says, "now concerning this and that," as if to indicate that he is responding specifically to issues raised by the Corinthian church. Now, it's important to note this for our discussion today as we consider the topic of spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 and verse 1 that I just read starts off with the phrase "now about" or "now concerning," which indicates to us that this is a subject that the church probably wrote to Paul about. And according to Paul, it is something that we do not need to be ignorant about. It is a topic that deserves attention, teaching, and encouragement. So in short, church, what are spiritual gifts? First, consider this, church. In verse 1, there is a mistranslation. Most of our translations say "now concerning spiritual gifts." Well, the word "gifts" is not in the original text. In the original text, all you see there is "now concerning spiritual." You can translate that "spiritual ones" or "spiritual things." Literally, what's left out or what's written there is regarding an issue regarding spirituality or spiritual concerns. There's an occasion in Corinth that many believe prompted Paul's writing here, that there were people who deemed themselves as being more spiritual than others. There were people at the Corinthian church that said, "You know what? I possess these types of gifts, so I must be then more spiritual than that person. Dion, I'm the preacher, so I'm more spiritual than the person that just sits in the pew. Or I'm Christy, I can sing, so I'm more spiritual than a person who can't sing." Some of these very things were taking place in the Corinthian church, where people were taking different gifts and functions and saying, "Because I possess those, I'm more spiritual than you." So Paul begins this encouragement, this instruction, with "now concerning the spiritual ones" or "spiritual things," as if to talk about the idea of spirituality, not just spiritual gifts. It's wrong for anyone to think that because they have some gift or position in a church that they are more spiritual. And this is an important fact to uncover as we seek to let this text define spiritual gifts. In verse number 4 of chapter 12, Paul writes that there are different kinds of gifts. Now, that is the word for gifts, the Greek word charismata. The word that we get "gift" from has in its root the word, the Greek word charis, or the word for grace. This tells us something, church. This is congruent with Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7, where he says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Spiritual gifts are free gifts given as an expression of the grace of God. What Paul makes clear here in this text, they are not all the same, but they all originate from the same Spirit, as was the case in Ephesus, is the case in the Corinthian church, and is the case in the Reynoldsburg church, and that is, at the heart of the matter is unity. At the heart of the matter is not that gifts or grace or anything is given so that we may be chaotic, but that we might be united. There is one Lord and one faith and one hope and one body and one spirit, and this same spirit disperses the different gifts, but they all come from the same spirit. There is one spirit, but many gifts. These gifts originate from God, and these gifts are distributed by God for His purpose. So what does this mean? This means that, number one, one's possession of a particular gift doesn't make that one more spiritual than another. Just because Todd here may can do something better than Darren over here doesn't make Todd more spiritual than Todd. Number two, the possession of a particular gift does not exalt a person to some special status. And number three, God is not only the originator of these gifts, He's also the operator of these gifts. And these gifts will be distributed for the common good. In verse 7, Paul writes. And what are these spiritual gifts? Well, to name a few from this text, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, the gift of prophecy or preaching, the gift of speaking in other languages, and the gift of interpreting other languages. Now, this list doesn't appear to be a full list of all the gifts. If you look at other passages, take, for instance, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. These gifts are added: the gift of serving, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement, the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, and the gift of showing mercy. From Ephesians chapter 4, it appears that even roles in the church seem to be gifts: evangelists, pastors, and preachers. These are gifts of grace, the grace of God that serve the common good. They serve the body of Christ, and they serve this world we find ourselves in. Spiritual gifts are not only gifts to the body, but gifts to the world. And God is so good, and He's so smart, and he's so wise, in that He knows that through the manifestation of these particular gifts in different arenas, that it will both build the body up and also bring others into His kingdom. God knows what He will do with these gifts, and He knows that it will ultimately benefit work in His kingdom. Church, spiritual gifts are not badges of honor. If they were, we would all get caught up in a rat race trying to get the good gifts. Again, this appears to be the situation in Corinth, where there were people trying to obtain the good gifts so that they could have this badge of honor to say, "Look at how spiritual I am." First of all the gifts of God are equally good. Secondly, gifts were not meant for us to enter into competition with each other. These gifts are meant to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and the power and the sovereignty of God. These gifts are means to the end, not the culmination of God's purposes for us in this world. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse number 8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever. and ever. Amen. Church, spiritual gifts are given as a way to say the kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. That in the kingdom of God, we all, everyone who is a part of the kingdom of God, will be given a gift. It's inclusive. No one is left out. This is not a spectator sport. This is not a sideline activity. You don't stand on the sidelines and cheer people on. No, you get the chance, you get the opportunity to be involved. The kingdom of God is an inclusive kingdom. We all have a part. No one is to be excluded. I don't care what race you may come from. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how inexperienced you are. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're a woman. You are all to be included in the kingdom of God and its work. And for this reason, God administers gifts to all of us as a way to work for the common good, as a way for us to serve each other, as a way for us to serve this corner of the earth that God has blessed us with. It may be Reynoldsburg, it may be Gahanna, it may be Pataskala, it may be Columbus, whatever corner of the earth that God has put you in, He has gifted you to bless that corner of the earth. Everyone has a part. We're all unique, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. And spiritual gifts mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing if we don't put them to use. Anyone here know of people who you give them a gift and they never use it?
My wife.
Anyone know people like that? You Christmas time come, what do you want for Christmas? And you know, it takes, oh, they don't tell you. So you say, I'm going to be creative, and you go get them, you know, something really nice, you know, maybe a locket or something, necklace. I'm not saying this is my situation. But it just sits in the box, never worn. You know, you never go get a picture of the girls to go put in the locket. It just sits there. Doesn't that upset you? Just really makes you mad. I mean, that's you. I can't speak for me. God did not give us gifts to keep them wrapped up on shelf. God gave us gifts to be opened, to be used, to be polished, to be put into action in the body of Christ. Again, this is our commitment, not for you to just understand that you have a gift, but to help you open this gift and put it into active spiritual use in your life. Again, you may have the gift of encouragement. You just don't know what that means. You don't know how to put that together. See, you take the gift that you have, and then you take the talents that you have. You know, you may have the gift of encouragement, and you may be a talented writer. But you know that there is a very concrete and easy way to put that gift into use. Do you know how much it means for people who are struggling with something to just receive a note of encouragement from somebody? That may sound corny and we do that, but you just don't know that the times that you know, you're going through something and you get that letter, or you get that card in the mail, and you says, oh my goodness. Your gift may be teaching. It may not be standing up in front of 200 people and teaching, but it may be sitting down one-on-one with someone, sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our commitment that when you get this gift that you have, that you don't just keep it closed. I'm going to break someone's artwork here, but just imagine this was a gift. We're not just going to put the gift on a box and say, the box on the shelf and just leave it there. No, we're going to take it off the shelf. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to enable you to open that gift and see what it means in your life. And when we all do that, when all of us do that, not just a few, when all of us do that, just imagine what God is going to do with this church. That's my prayer, and that's my hope. Next week, we'll talk about, you know, you being designed uniquely, that God designed you uniquely for a purpose. that we're not all the same. There's some fingers in here. There's some toes in here. There's an appendix in here somewhere. There's all these parts of the body, and we all work together for God's purposes. And that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us, reveal to me, Dion, you're up. Second toe, or whatever. Or Bill, you're an eyelid, or whatever the body part is. That we come to an understanding that we are a body. And that's something to celebrate. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gifts you've given us. The gifts you've rained in our lives. The gifts that you continually flood our lives with. God, with regard to these spiritual gifts, help us to discover, uncover what these spiritual gifts are, and give us the heart, the minds, the creativity to put these gifts into spiritual, passionate action. And Father, we have faith that when these things are put into action, that you will administer them, that you will work them in such a way that it will be done to the common good, that this body will be built up, that this community will be blessed, that your purposes will be maintained, that your purposes will be done on earth as is your will in heaven. God, we praise you and we thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift you've given us, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you need prayer, if you want to share something with the body, you want to give a testimony, you want to talk about how God is working in your life, if you just need encouragement, we want to encourage you to come as we stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to profess your faith, you want to confess that you want to be a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ, you want to be baptized, we will do that. If you like, please come as we stand and as we sing.